tonight I'm joined by Karen, Marima, and Mikal. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Yay. Woohoo. I feel like the team's getting back together.
I know. Kyle's...
It's been a really long time.
Yeah, Kyle's still a little MIA. I can't tell you why he's MIA, because it's not, you know, PG-13. But he's not here today, although he really, really wanted to be. So hopefully we'll get him on next time. So as always, we are going to start off with what we've been reading. And maybe, Mikal, if you've been doing anything exciting, you can fill us in on what you've been doing, because you've been around for a while.
I haven't, I guess. I haven't really been doing anything exciting, though. I've been doing a lot of reading, a lot of writing, a lot of almost grad schooling. That's cool.
Yeah, how's that going?
that's going good. I have to write them my first check soon. Oh, second check, I guess I paid for the application. But you know, it's really exciting, and I'm looking forward to that.
That'll be awesome. So you're going for your MFA, right?
I am.
Oof.
I know. So maybe one day you'll discuss my book I'm booking.
That would be so exciting. Well, it better be good. So I'm just saying.
Well, you give us an
You're not going to like it, Marima, no matter what.
Why would you say that? I like something.
Just a sense.
I like some things. Oh, I love it.
But you all know it'll be a romance novel, so.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah. Obviously.
With dragons, right?
I plead the fifth. I actually did suggest, I do have a story with dragons that has been my long running project. And I suggested to somebody that, you know, since the main character was kind of in her 20s, like, I don't know, maybe I could pitch it as a new adult. And she was like, yeah, then your main character would have to have sex with a dragon. So I was like,
God.
All right,
I read that book.
I think I'll stick to normal fantasy then.
Oh my. All right, so have you been reading anything exciting since we last spoke with you?
Yeah, I read Deathsworn by Leia Sipis, which I really liked. I finally finished Red Rising, which I realized is a really good book, but the main character is a huge Gary Stu, like colossally. Oh man, what else did I read? I have other stuff, but I don't really remember. Whatever it is, it's upstairs in my bathroom.
So it's like super good then.
some of it's been good. Some of it's been less so. I'm reading an arc now called The Kiss of Deception by Mary Pearson, which is really interesting. It's like a runaway princess story, but the main character kind of winds up being pursued by both the prince that she jilted and an assassin. And so while I'm not really looking forward to like the romantic part of it, I'm kind of interested in seeing how this is all going to go and how like she's presumably not going to get murdered. So yeah, it should be cool.
I like the assassin part of it. I mean,
I know it was interesting. Like I wasn't as interested in the book, and then like, she kind of switched perspectives, and it was like, oh, the prince is chasing after her. And I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And it was like, the assassin is chasing after her. And I was like, more interesting. So we'll see.
Even better. Everything's better with an assassin.
Exactly. So if you like assassins, you should read Deathsworn by Leia Sipis, because that's good.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, Marima, I'm going to ask you, even though I already know, what have you been reading lately?
So I've been feeling really bad because I haven't been reading anything fun to recommend on the last few episodes. So this weekend I was like, all right, Marima, like you're going to catch up on some of these things. So I read so many things. I read Grasshopper Jungle by Andrew Smith, which was like, all right, it's 100% in like the top five weirdest things I've ever read, but I think it's probably like jockeying for the top spot because it is just crazy weird. But it was so great and I loved it. And poor Karen had to put up with my like running commentary throughout it
about how
it had put me off my dinner and I was feeling really sick.
Yeah.
Because it's really gruesome, like a lot more than I was expecting it to be, but it's also really, really funny. And I just love his writing so much. And it was just so great. So I absolutely recommend that. Although we were discussing how it could possibly be turned into a film, which concerns me a lot because apparently that's happening. So
it'd have to be purposely bad, I think. I mean, there's no way to do that seriously. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. But I just don't know if a studio would like be willing to put so much money into making that joke. You know what I mean?
True.
Yeah, so we'll see. And then after I read that, I read We Were Liars by E. Lockhart, which Jen got to put up with my commentary on, and I adored it. I was like so in love with it. It was so beautiful and full, and I loved it. So thank you, Jen.
Anytime.
And it punched me in the face.
It does.
As you said.
It does. Yeah. It has that vibe.
Yeah. So I absolutely recommend that, because that's just like gorgeous but horrible at the same time. And then I read Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan, that I had been meaning to read forever, and it came out ages and ages ago. And this is like an adult fiction, I guess, but it's kind of like Gossip Girl in China. Like, it's weird. It's really weird, but it's really, really funny. And it has all these little footnotes through it that are like hysterically funny. So that's really fun. I think people should check that out. Although, like, as I was reading it, I was wondering, you know, if it was sort of perpetuating some stereotypes that maybe, like, because it's about, you know, like various Chinese families. Like, as I was reading it, I thought that it seemed like it was breaking down a lot of stereotypes, but I'm not sure if it was just sort of buying into maybe some more recent ones. So I would be interested in someone's opinion who, like, you know, has a greater understanding of that. And then last night I read 6 Feet Over It by Jennifer Longo, and I didn't love it. So I wouldn't recommend that one. But the other three I would definitely recommend, because it's just kind of, I don't know. I think I went into it hoping it would be like that. I think we were talking about this, that TV show Dead Like Me, which is really
funny.
Yes. And it's not. It's not like that at all. It doesn't have that sort of humor. And it's a lot more, I don't want to say indulgent, but like there is an aspect of it that you're like, all right, like let's get going with this plot here. Like let's do something with this. And, you know, there are a few plot holes or craters. So maybe don't read that. But, you know, maybe it wasn't like awful. It was just nothing special. So I wouldn't like waste your time on it if you have other things to read. And I think that's everything. Oh, I reread Paper Towns this week as well for an article.
As you do.
Yeah, for an article. And it was interesting reading it, thinking of them like making it into a film, because so much of that book is like metaphors. So I'm curious to see how that works. But yeah. I think that's everything.
All right. You are very busy. My goodness.
I just had a busy weekend. And then like during the week, I go back to having no time.
Awesome. All right, Karen, what have you been up to? What have you been reading?
I read Cold Calls by Charles Benoit. I hope that's how you say his last name. And it was really good. I was super impressed. I basically read the whole thing in a couple of hours, like from start to finish, because I couldn't put it down. And it takes place in a high school setting where these kids get blackmailed. And somebody knows their secret, and unless they do whatever the person on the phone tells them to do, everybody's going to learn their secret. And it's got a lot to do with like bullying and taking responsibility for what you've done in your past and stuff like that. And it was just really interesting. So I definitely enjoyed that one. And then right now I am in the middle of Independent Study, which is the second book in the testing series by Joelle Charbonneau. And it's way better than the first book, I think. Really interesting. It's very cerebral. There's a lot of sort of mental tasks that the main character has to go through, which I think is one of the highlights of the book. So it's really interesting, and I'm pretty excited to read the third and final one in that series.
All right. And Karen owes me some Sherlock Holmes stories, just so it's on the record.
Yes,
and
I
do. Everyone knows she's accountable, because I'm holding a House of Hades signed copy for her hostage until that gets done. So
I love you, Jen.
I do, too. Thank you so much for getting me that. I'm totally going to read Sherlock.
I know.
You have to earn it.
That's right. I will. That's the teacher in me. You have to earn your reward.
Yeah. Jen's like, okay, class, like, do your work and then get your reward.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah. No, seriously, that's what I do. If I have ARCs that I know my students want to read, I'm like, it's sitting here until your work is done. I don't know what to tell you.
You'd be amazed.
I am a teacher, dude.
Said you would be a mean teacher.
No, I'm not mean. It's very motivating when they...
Yeah.
And the whole thing is, the reality of it is, reading is very academic. Do you know what I mean? The fact that they want to read a book. So I'm just all like, oh, you know.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, holding back books from actual students, maybe not such a great idea.
It's only held back until, say, like, math gets done, because otherwise math would never get done.
And let's be real, you're not being like, hey kids, like, do your homework and you get this bag of drugs. You're being like, look at this book. So what's the worst that can happen?
Exactly. All right, so for me, I haven't gotten too much reading done, but I'm going on vacation starting on Saturday, and I plan to burn through, like, every book that I have waiting for me. I'm very excited. There's going to be a lot of sunshine and a lot of book reading in my future. I did finish The Here and Now, which is Anne Brasher's new book, and she wrote, famously, the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. That was hers.
So
this is drastically different. This is very kind of science fiction-y, and it's unique. Like, I don't know. It's hard to describe. It's about a girl. It's about a whole group of people that have basically come from the future, and they're now living in, like, our time period, and they're very separate from everybody, and they have the rules. And they go over these rules all the time, and different people have to read out the rules, and it's kind of like a big deal in their society, but they keep their society very closed off from the rest of, like, humanity. Even though they go to school and they try to blend in, they don't, like, co-mingle, if you will. So it's a really unique story about this one girl who knows she has to do something to save people, but it would break a rule. And that's a very dangerous thing if you're her kind and you break a rule. So she has to make some choices. And it was different. I don't know if it was what I expected. So if you like Anne Brasher, but you like her because of The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, I'm not really sure that this book is for you, because it's just very different from that concept. It's a whole different style of writing. There's just a lot going on in it. So I would say definitely check it out at the library. But I'm not really sure how it will go over with the core fans that she has kind of built up over the years. Because, again, it's very different. And then the other thing I've been doing is I've been listening to, rather than reading, Half Bad by Sally Green, which is our book for the end of the month that we're doing for book club. And it's been pretty interesting. I love the guy that's reading it to me. He has a gorgeous British accent. So I'm just like, yes, tell me all about it.
He's reading it specifically to you, Jen?
Of course he is.
Yes.
Of course he is.
Jen's a player. Just reading this book.
Nice. Yes.
I just called up the British guy to come over and read to me. It's fine. Don't you guys do that? No? Okay.
I read to myself in a British accent, but...
That's what an Audible subscription is, I might get one.
I'm telling you.
If some British dude's going to turn up at my apartment. Yeah.
I have one, and I don't get a free British man in my living room.
Yeah, let's not full
be a perk for Jen.
it's fantastic. But I love the guy that reads the audiobook. It's amazing. Like, his voice is amazing. He's, like, one of the perfect... You know how you just find, when you listen to audiobooks, you find, like, the perfect readers? Like, they do lots of voices, or they do it really, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, a soothing voice. And his is, he's really just made to read this book, I think. So if you guys haven't checked out Sally Green's Half Bad, and you want to check it out for when we have it for book discussion in a couple of weeks, I highly suggest the audiobook, because it's kind of amazing. Yeah, so those are the two things I've been working on, because I've just been, like, super swamped. But I did just get in the mail the new Nina LaCour book, which I'm totally excited about reading. And then I got something else. And I'm not going to be able to say, oh, I got Half Past Midnight. It just got sent to me, which is Jessica Shervington's book that we talked about a couple weeks ago with her. So I'm really excited to read that too. I got that in the mail a couple days ago.
Yeah, it was Between the Lives over here.
Yeah, so and ours is titled Half Past Midnight. So
that's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's got a super cool cover too. So kind of looking forward to getting into those. I think those will go into my suitcase for when I go on vacation, and I can just pull them out at the beach or at the. And that's pretty much my only goal. I'm kind of excited about it. I am. It's okay. All right. So for Book Bites today, here's a really interesting one. And this came in from a listener, Allie. It says, do you guys think comparing every book to the Potter series helps increase or decrease the fame? And do you think it's a fair comparison to use? Well, That's a fascinating question because I think so many things get compared to Potter. And there's a lot of different factors that play into it. First of all, Potter reached a group of people. I mean, it's like a generation's book. Do you know what I mean? Like, it started with kids who were super young. They got into the series and they grew with Harry. Has, you know, when Harry hit his teens, they were hitting their teens. So I think it has a very different effect on people because an entire generation grew with this one book series and with these characters. And I don't know if it necessarily increases its fame. It definitely increases its maybe notoriety, because anytime you compare something to Potter, there's always a backlash. There is never, nothing ever good comes of that. When you call something the next Harry Potter, the instantaneous reaction, I think, of fans and, you know, people in the book world is like, oh, come on now. Because I don't know if there would ever be another Harry Potter. Like, Harry Potter is Harry Potter. I don't know if it can be categorized. I don't know if it can be replicated. And really, I don't know if you want to.
I think there's a difference between calling something the next Harry Potter and calling and comparing something to Harry Potter. Like, you can use it as like a comparison of type, or you can use it as a comparison of everybody in the world is going to read this book. And the former is debatable. The latter is a really bad idea. And I mean, I don't know that people even do that so much anymore, but I remember, you know, in elementary school and early in high school, when I guess Potter fever really hit, there were a lot of series. What's the Ian Colfer one?
Artemis Fowl.
Yes. Artemis Fowl. I remember reading an article about it in like Time for Kids or something that was like, this is the next Harry Potter. And I was like, there is no way that's better than Harry Potter. So I'm never, ever going to read it. And to this day, I've never read it. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a dangerous game, but I don't think that like comparing something in subject to Harry Potter is a bad idea. I mean, like if it's got magic and what, I mean, people will find any reason to use it. You know, if there's a school in it, it'll be Harry Potter. Red Rising was compared to Harry Potter. It's nothing like Harry Potter.
But I think the reality of it is as soon as you say like Harry Potter, all people see is like Harry Potter, and it's like this immediate reject of the idea. It doesn't matter because it's like Harry Potter because it has magic, or do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think people get past the like Harry Potter that like they stop right there. There's no moving past that kind of thing. I don't know. What do you think, Karen and Marima?
It kind of like doesn't really mean anything to me anymore. Maybe when Harry Potter was still pretty fresh in my mind, when people are calling other series like Harry Potter, I might have picked it up because, you know, as a kid, you're like, well, I really like this series. If this one's like this one, why not? But now it doesn't mean anything to me. Like, even if it is similar to Harry Potter, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to like it or that it'll speak to me in the same way. So I definitely don't think it hurts it, really. Well, I mean, there is a lot of backlash to that, but I don't think it helps as much as a lot of maybe publishers and marketing people think it does.
I would kind of agree. I sort of don't care. I think, you know what? This annoys me more when it's not Harry Potter, when it's John Green, like when it's the next John Green, or like, this is a John Green.
Don't worry. It's like almost as good as if it was written by a man.
No, I just feel like that is more prevalent now in the sort of, and I guess the new Hunger Games, but yeah, it doesn't particularly bother me when people compare stuff to Harry Potter. Like I understand that it's a marketing technique, and you know what, like if it's going to make someone read it, then that's great. But as you said, Mikhail, like it's probably more likely to make someone not read it. So that's a shame. But yeah, it's not surprising that people compare stuff to Harry Potter. It was like the most successful book of its generation and one of the most successful ever, so fair play.
Yeah, and I agree with you about the whole John Green thing. It's like they change. It depends. It's whatever's popular at the moment. Everything wants to be like it. Everyone wants to be the popular kid. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, everything is like Game of Thrones now. You know,
everything. It's the Game of Thrones for girls. What?
No. Yeah. Well, right. Exactly. What on earth could you be referring to?
Sorry, I'm done now. All right. So on to the news, and in news once again, we have Cassie Clare and another Shadowhunters series that she's announced. Yes, another one. she's on her fifth now. This would be the fifth series that she's announced. And this one is called The Wicked Games or Wicked Powers. Where is it? It's The Wicked something or other. Oh, Wicked Powers. Okay, so at this point, we've had the original Mortal Instruments series. We had the sequel to that, which is, they're still calling it the Mortal Instruments, but this it's the second set of books. So it's the City of Heavenly Fire, that like tacked on to it. We've had the prequel to the Mortal Instruments series, which was the Clockwork Princess series, or the Infernal Devices, as it's most commonly known. Then we're going to get a prequel or a sequel to the prequel. For those of you following along at home, that's not confusing in any way, shape, or form. And that one is called, I don't know. There's so many names. What is that one called?
Which one? The Hours?
The sequel to the prequel. Oh, The Last Hours. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the sequel to the prequel is The Last Hours.
Stop trying to make sense of it. It doesn't make sense.
I know. I'm just saying it is. And then... then the sequel to the sequel of the Mortal Instruments, are you with me still, is going to be The Wicked Powers. And that is going to be about a family that we have not met yet. It's based on a poem that we have not read yet because it's in the City of Heavenly Fire. I guess it was released in a recent snippet, but I don't know. I'm just kind of done. I don't know how you guys feel, but I feel like... with each series, like, I loved The Infernal Devices, loved it. I will probably read The Last Hours, or at the very least, check out the first one, because I love that world, I love that setting, I thought that was some of her best writing, and so I will probably look at that series. I can't say I'm going to look at these other two that are still moving forward on the same path where, you know, Clary and Jace and everybody live, because I'm just not that interested. I don't know. How do you guys feel about it?
Yeah, I don't care.
I'm not a fan really of this series. I've read the first three books in the Mortal Instruments series and they weren't fantastic. I didn't think they were too bad. I definitely want to check out. I own the whole prequel series, so I might as well read them at some point. And the only reason why I got them actually was because of you, Jen, because you said that they were so much better. So,
they are.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out. But as far as, like, I kind of feel like maybe she should try something else. But then again, if people are reading it, you kind of can't really blame her. And I just keep thinking about Rick Riordan and his books, because he has, you know, the five Percy Jackson books. Then he has the five House of Olympus books. And he's done sort of like a spin-off series. And they're different, but technically they're still kind of set in the same world. And I still really enjoy those books. I've read every single one of them, and he's coming out with the Norse series, and I'm all for that as well. So I don't know. I guess I'm kind of on the fence about it.
See, what I think is different about Rick Riordan is that he has things set in different mythologies. So you have a lot of Greek mythology, and you've had that where that was split. But then you also had his Egyptian mythology. You're going to get Norse mythology. So while he's still kind of dabbling in the idea of mythology, they are different from each other. This is just the Shadowhunter world that she's created, and it's the only place we go. And the rules don't really change. There's not a lot to make it exciting anymore, I don't think. Like, I don't, it could just be me. Like, sometimes, you know how you read a lot of things and you kind of get done with it? That could just be where I'm at the moment. When by the time that all of these come out, maybe I'll be more invested, but I don't know. And she is writing a series with Holly Black, and that's called The Magisterium, and it's going to be a pentology. And that's set outside the Shadowhunter world, so I mean, that'll be an interesting thing to see how she's able to deviate from this world that she's created. And it's pretty much the only world that she's really written in. So, but again, she's co-authoring that with Holly Black, and Holly Black creates stunning worlds. So, I mean, I don't know.
I guess, I mean, what interests me as somebody who's never read a word of these books is that I wonder how it could be like, how it could continue to be creatively fulfilling for her. I mean, I don't want to judge, because obviously, you know, new characters offer different stories, and, you know, if you like writing in a setting, that's great. But at the same time, like, you know, you have a lot of authors who are like, by the time they're done with a book, they're like, yeah, I can't wait to move on to this new world, this new series, this new character. And it's interesting to me that she apparently doesn't have that problem.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I just don't know. It's like along those lines, there was someone that tweeted us and I thought it was funny, so we should read it. And this was from Nadia, who said, have you talked about authors who live in their worlds too long and the franchise money making machine? Because that's what this is. So just, you know, say it like it is, Nadia. That's fine. But, you know, I think that's definitely a problem. And even if it's perceived that way, like that's going to put readers off. So there will always be people that are super into this series. Like, this has a very dedicated fan base, and there are going to be people that read anything that she writes in this world. But at the same time, I think there are fans that are getting a little bit sick of it and kind of hoping for something new from her.
Right. Well, I'm actually looking through the comments on the post, and a lot of people are like, I'm done after City of Heavenly Fire. Like, some people are like, that horse died a long time ago and she's still standing in the middle of the road whipping the skeleton.
Who said that?
See, that's not what you want to be heard about your book.
Well, that's from a commenter called M. So there you go.
It could have been either one of us, Marma.
it was actually surprisingly not.
So I don't know. I don't know. So from what I'm reading on here, it seems like a lot of people aren't really down with the idea. But we'll see. I mean, there are a lot of fans, and I'm sure a lot of people are really excited about it. I would love to see something different from her. And I feel like I said this the last time when they talked about The Last Hours. I'm kind of like, I think we just had this conversation, but maybe not. So anyway, moving on to a totally different topic. Something a little bit more exciting maybe is Eleanor and Park was optioned for film, which is super exciting. For those of you who have read Eleanor and Park, you'll understand. It's an amazing book for lots and lots of different reasons. So, and Marima, do you want to talk about this little fangirl adaptation, like, video that you found that was super cute?
Oh, sure. Do we want to talk? Let's talk about Eleanor and Park first, though.
Okay, you go ahead.
Oh. Okay, well, DreamWorks picked up Eleanor and Park, which is exciting, and some may say, in response to the new, like, Paper Towns thing. So this is really great because I think, Jen, were we talking about this when...
We were, yeah.
Yeah, and then I was talking about it on Hype as well, and I was like, I really want them to make Eleanor and Park, but, like, they never will because they can't cast attractive, like, you know, usually standard attractive people, and now they're doing it, and I'm really stressed about it, guys, because I really love this book, and I'm so stressed that it's going to be, like, Hollywoodized, you know, and like they're gonna cast Shailene Woodley as Eleanor or something, or Emma Stone, you know what I mean? And it's just not, that's not what it's about. But Rainbow Rowell is writing the screenplay, so that's exciting.
That's basically
everything that we know about it.
Yeah, other than the fact that we're super excited.
Yeah, yeah.
So of course you can always leave your fan casting ideas, because who doesn't love a good fan cast?
Yes,
we would love to hear what you guys think about who should be cast as Eleanor and Park.
Has Michal and Karen, have you guys read this?
I haven't. I started it on audiobook and then I just kind of didn't continue it, but like, oh,
you gotta read it.
I know. Not for being like, oh, I don't think this is good, just because I've been like, I just haven't read it.
I have a copy of it within arm's reach right now, but I haven't. It's sitting under like 10 other books.
Oh, Karen. Karen.
Jen, add that to the
granted demand. I may just have to like trade out a Sherlock story, one, for an Eleanor and Park story.
Oh, you can't hold it hostage forever.
I mean, she can. You know what? She could give it to me. Even worse.
You haven't even read Percy Jackson.
I know. And what would I do with it? I would not treat it with the sanctity that it deserved.
Exactly. God.
Oh, Karen, you're funny. All right. So, yes. So definitely send us in your Eleanor and Park casting ideas, because who doesn't love a good fan casting? And there is also an article about Paper Towns fan casting for Margot, so you guys should definitely check that out and tell us your thoughts, because we can only pick so many, and our imaginations are only so wide and vast, so, you know.
It's not Tom Hiddleston, I'm not really interested.
Okay, can I, I will tell you guys this. Once you've read The Queen of Tierling, I need you to reconvene, and we need to discuss. Because there's one character, and as soon as he hits the page, I'm like, oh, hello, Tom Hiddleston. Like, I'm not even kidding. Well,
have you finished it yet? Have you sent it off already?
Yeah, Andrew should have it soon.
I hate you.
I'm next.
No, Andrew should give it to me in L.A. And then I'll give it to you in San Diego.
Oh, you think you guys. You guys get to go to L.A. Well,
if you think that Andrew is going to read that book in like a week, you are sorely mistaken.
I'm going to message him and tell him to.
Oh, my God.
And then I'll give it to you in San Diego.
Oh, my God. It'll be out by then.
It will?
Yeah. It's coming out in July.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, what if we don't like it? What if we like it?
What no, I honestly.
I mean, I'm not talking about you, Karen. You're going to like it. But I'm saying, thanks. Like, the rest of us.
I think there will be a couple things that you guys have problems with, Mikal and Marima have problems with, but we'll wait and
Why
see.
Would you say that? We because have problems with anything.
Of course not. Of course not. Not at all. We'll see if I'm right. I'll write them down and give them to Karen when I'm in LA. She can be the keeper of it. And
oh
then...
my God, yes. Write them in a sealed envelope and then we'll like open it and see.
See if I was right. See how well I know you guys. All right, Karen, you want to talk about this Percy Jackson movie business?
Wait, we got
to
talk about this fangirl thing because it was adorable.
Oh, sorry, yes, go.
Yeah, so there was like a little mini like scene adaptation thing shot for Fangirl by a web series director, Yulene, I don't know how to say your last name, I'm really sorry. And it's got Kate Wiles in it, who is in the Lizzie Bennet Diaries. And it's really, really cute, you guys. And I was just watching it being like, I want a movie. Like, please give me a movie.
Yes.
So I feel like if Eleanor and Park does well and, you know, it could, then I feel like maybe Rainbow Rowell will be the next sort of person that they go through all their books, like what they're doing with John Green, apparently. So
it makes
that could
me
be a
wonder,
good sign.
Though, do you think that this book, I mean, obviously it really speaks to us, but do you think it would, I guess it doesn't have to be mainstream or anything, but I kind of wonder if it would do as well, given just like the subject matter and stuff.
Well, I think when you read Eleanor and Park, like there are similar issues with that, like not to do with, you know, fandom, but other things that they talk about in that, that you would think, wow, this is not going to be like a mainstream hit, and yet they're still apparently going to do it.
Oh, cool.
So it would be appealing to like a similar audience. Anyway, read the book, Karen, and then you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, and it was up for a bunch of awards. Like it was a really big deal. It did really
well. Yeah. So I think I honestly would be surprised if they didn't adapt Fangirl, because, you know, it's like a college story and it's like coming of age kind of whatever, and they can cast classically attractive people in it, and it's got like a cute love interest, and you know, why not do it?
I would actually love to see Fangirl done like as an indie, you know, not like a major studio, because you know, and in that case I feel like there's a lot less pressure for it to, you know, super succeed at the box office. You know, it can kind of more be appreciated on its own terms, but you know, that's just a pipe dream.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Time will tell how this will unfold, I think. All right, so now we're going to move on, and Karen is going to talk about Percy Jackson.
And again.
This whole, yeah, again, because I feel like we just had this conversation, and it went in an entirely different direction. But
yeah,
go.
We did. Basically, I mean, I don't know if you guys heard before, but Logan Lerman basically said that a third Percy Jackson movie wasn't going to happen. And then he said, like, a week later that his words were taken out of context, which I could kind of see how maybe that would have happened. And he said that it's still a possibility. So basically, Lerman is, he has a contract to do three Percy Jackson movies. So if they decide to do a third one, he has to do it. And, but at this point, I don't know, because he said that, I really don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, what if it takes like 5 years and he's like,
well, he did say if he was 30, he would still play Percy Jackson. So
that would be so awesome.
I know.
No one wants to watch Percy Jackson. No one wants to watch Percy Jackson in the midlife crisis. Like, what is that?
So at that point, he's supposed to be like, what, 14?
Isn't he meant to be like really young now?
Well, yeah, I guess they did bump the ages. Like, he was 17, I think, 16 or 17 in the first movie, so it wouldn't be like...
And he was meant to be how old?
In the books?
11?
12, mm-hmm. Yeah, 12.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not complaining, because it means you get to look at Logan Lerman, but still.
Basically, it's just giving me emotional whiplash, and I'm done with it. I need a decision one way or the other.
Poor Karen is like, I can't take it. I can't take it. It's not okay.
Oh, dear. Oh, speaking of movies, not that this is at all related, but wait, does anyone want to talk about Percy Jackson anymore? Because I feel like that was just Karen just having a moment.
Yeah, it pretty much was.
I saw Divergent, finally. And,
Speaking of attractive men,
Jen got many messages from me.
I did.
I was having a moment myself. I really liked it because I missed your show last week. But yeah, I really, really liked it. And I think it had a lot to do with the casting for me. So I'm kind of excited to see Insurgent and Kate Winslet, man. She's the best.
Oh, dude, I loved Kate Winslet.
She was so great. But Shailene Woodley was also really great, and Theo James was really attractive.
Yep.
Yep.
See, I told you. Anyway, yeah, that's my I told you so moment.
He is so much more attractive, like, in that, like, when he's acting than just, like, when he's brooding in a photo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it. The light is way better.
You have to see him. Like, I just, yeah, I think he was really great for that character. So, anyway. That's my mini review.
As a complete side note, Marima and I had a conversation that kind of like, I saw Captain America, and oh my god, yes, look at his white t-shirt. Oh, by the way.
Okay, we do not need to go into details.
Guys, Bucky.
Bucky. Yes.
Yeah.
My feelings.
You don't have to choose. I don't see why you have to choose.
I'm not choosing.
Why choose? Yeah. No. I will say, I'm telling girls here.
Like, at a certain point, though, like, I think it was the point, I won't spoil it, but whatever, Chris Evans is just wearing, like, a wife beater, you know, and he comes into the room, I'm like, they're bigger than his head.
And so you're like, where is he being packed in there?
Like, there's no way that, like, a normal costume fits that.
You know what I liked best about that movie was in that same scene when they've, like, just been blown up and they're, like, on the run, Scarlett Johansson, like, takes the time to straighten her hair before they go out again.
No, she doesn't even. It's, like, it's wet and she's, like, teasing it. I'm like, oh my gosh, a moment of realization. Reality. A woman's hair is wet after she takes a shower. And then the next scene is perfect again. Oh,
that's what I'm saying. Like, that is not, you cannot get hair like that from a blow dry. She definitely straightened it. So I like that she's got her priorities straight.
Black Widow's got to keep it real.
I loved her in this. I want a spin-off. Oh, my God. This right. Comic books are books. This is relevant.
This is out, I'm sure. Totally you can all tell us what you thought about Captain America, too.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
For comments.
I've already seen it twice. Like.
Yeah. No, I was like, oh, I could go see it again soon. It was, All right. So let's talk about our actual next book-related thing, and that is... the If I Stay movie released its first still, and the still is of Adam and
Mia.
Thank you. I'm like, what is her name? Not Chloe Moretz, which is what I want to say. That would be the actress.
Adam and Chloe Moretz.
Technically, that would be accurate. So If I Stay is set. It's already, I think it's finished filming about now.
Oh yeah, they're done. They're all done.
So that will be coming out this fall. And they released the still, and it's of Adam and Mia. And so it's kind of interesting. Have you guys read the book? I know, Marima, you have. Karen or Mikhail, have you read the book?
Yes, I have.
What did you think?
I, in spite of my romance-hating tendencies, I did like it. I thought it was a little gimmicky, but some of the imagery was really, really great. One of the early scenes when... kind of Mia, well, I guess if people don't know, like, this is about a girl whose family gets into a car accident, and she basically has to decide whether to live or die. And she's kind of walking around all of the scenes of what's going on, and then has flashbacks to her life. So there was one scene where, you know, the paramedics kind of load her body into a helicopter, and she like climbs in after them. And for some reason that really stood out to me. So yeah, I mean, I actually am like looking forward to it in theory. I don't know if this is like the most exciting picture you could release from a movie like this. Like, I feel like you could release something a little more relevant than just like selfie, but you know.
Yeah, but this is also like, it's not a huge production.
That's true.
You know, it's like, it's a little kind of indie sort of thing that's happening. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's not indie by any means, but like, there's obviously not a huge marketing push going into it. I thought it was cute. I think they look the parts. I'm excited to see it. It's released on August 22nd in the States, and it doesn't have an international release schedule yet. So I'm imagining it's going to be like a very limited release. But, you know, like, if they're starting to release stuff, then I guess hopefully there will be a trailer at some point. So that will be exciting. But yeah, otherwise, cool. just worth keeping an eye on. I'm quite interested to see how this goes, because I did like this book a lot.
Yeah, it's a quick read, too. It's not like, you know, it's not going to take you forever.
Very true, very true. Okay, so let's see. Do you want to talk about the Paper Towns casting, or do you want to skip it?
Oh, we can skip it.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Mikkel, I'm pretty sure this one was yours. The Game of Thrones is back.
Yes.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
Game of Thrones came back last night, season 4. In case you have been living under a rock, it's based on the best-selling novels by George R. R. Martin, Song of Ice and Fire series. And I'm happy. I'm in my happy place because Game of Thrones is back, and it's just so nice.
It was so good.
It was really good.
Season 4, but it's technically the second half of book 3, correct?
Well, yes, ish. For the most part. I mean, the major events, yes, but at the same time, like, they've kind of skipped forward. Daenerys, I believe a lot of her story from book 5 is happening now.
Get really complicated.
Not really, because she's not in the fourth book. So a lot of it happens kind of concurrently. But definitely, I mean, nothing particularly interesting happens with her in the fifth book, so it'll be interesting to see what they do. But the King's Landing stuff, and I think most of definitely the stuff in the wall at the wall, and Bran, I think, is going to be the third book. And then other stuff is, you know, leaking in and being expanded and stuff. But I mean, I'm all for like expanding, you know, like, no, I don't want to see more of stuff that happened that I didn't get to see in the books. Like, I very rarely feel like that. So yeah, I'm just excited. And the fantasy lover that I buried deep inside me is just very happy, because, you know, you can kind of, it's the time of year when you could kind of have a conversation with somebody about like what Dany's gonna, how she's gonna take over this crazy city, and like, oh my god, our dragons are getting super big, and whoa, what do you think Tyrion's gonna do? And like, obviously I know because I've read the books, but I still like to talk about it. And
you're like, what do you think he's gonna do? I know, joke's on you. I went to a Game of Thrones party last night as Jon Snow.
Awesome.
So
yes,
FYI,
I love it.
Fun, very fun.
Yeah. It was kind of like Jon Snow meets a Groot, because I put like many braids in my hair, but there was like, it was black and I was wearing fur and it was great.
Picture was so didn't fun. Happen.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't take any.
What?
Next time. We're having a weekly party. We just have to have a weekly party to watch Game of Thrones. So
I love it.
I know, I've made good friends.
All right. Did you guys hear about, this is kind of on this topic, about the teacher and like, Denmark or something, that his class wasn't being appropriate, so he said,
oh my, yes,
the next time anyone talks out or does anything inappropriate, I've read all the Game of Thrones books, and you all want to know what happens, I will start writing the people who die on the board.
Yes, I was thinking of you when I read this one. I was like, I wonder if Jen posed this stuff with her students.
I just thought it was, I read that, I was like, oh, that's amazing right there, because it's just,
I mean, Yeah. Just imagine, though, if there's one, like, smart-ass kid in that class that just doesn't care and just ruins it for everyone by not shutting up, and then all the people that actually do care, like, that would be harsh.
Yeah. But as that a teacher, you also kind of know, like, who the punks are. You know what I mean? Like, you balance it out. It's okay in the end. So, yeah, I just thought that was super funny and very, like, pop culture, you know, book related news. That was kind of fun. And then lastly, this week, or it's for our recording time, it's tomorrow, but by the time you hear this, it'll be like a week from now. The Dream of Gods and Monsters by Lainey Taylor. It's the last book in the Daughter of Smoke and Bone series, and that comes out, which is super exciting. I know, Mikal, you're a huge fan.
I'm really, really psyched for this. I'm not even sure when I'm going to read it because I have to pick, like, the right time to read it. But I'm so happy. I might drive 2.5 hours to meet her. That really is a very credible option at this point.
So seriously, because that means you're coming up here, right?
Yeah. I think unless something, like, interrupts me. Now I no longer teach on Thursdays, so unless something, like, gets in my way, I probably will. Because, I mean, she's not coming to New York, damn it. And, like, I don't know where she lives. I'm not going to, like, hunt her down normally, so.
Yeah, please no stalking.
I'm really not a stalker, okay? If I didn't ever stalk J.K. Rowling, then I'm not going to start with Lainey Taylor. You know, bless her. She's amazing, but. You know, not J.K. Rowling. I'm just really excited. They're beautiful books. They're, like, super engrossing, very unique. And I've talked about this before, but whatever. If you haven't read them, they're super, super worth it. And in my opinion, the second book is even better than the first one. So, yeah.
Yeah, freedom. We just have an interview up with her where she's talking about all of her different characters and her writing processes. And her writing process is really unique. She doesn't do a lot of outlining. She doesn't necessarily know where things are going to go. And I think one of the most interesting things she said is she's like, I always rely on my future self. She's like, if I write something and I'm not really sure what I've done, she's like, oh, my future self will fix it. She's like, and then I get to my future self and it's not necessarily okay anymore. So I thought that was a really funny way to put it. So the interview was really interesting and she had a lot to offer. So definitely check that out if you are into the Daughter of Smoke and Bone series. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. So we had some listener feedback from, well, we haven't had, we've got some listener, let's start that again. We've got some listener feedback and some people listened to our House of Silk discussion, which was really fun. We did Sherlock Holmes House of Silk. Karen, did you want to take that one from Allison?
Allison says, I really enjoyed this book, which I read specifically because you were reviewing it. My only complaint is with the prologue. It breaks my heart to think of Sherlock as ever dying, be it the BBC Sherlock or Doyle's Sherlock. I love them both, so the prologue was rather depressing. Thanks to my love for the BBC Sherlock, I've gotten into the original Arthur Conan Doyle stories. I've read nearly all of them. I'm now rereading them via Leslie Klinger's annotated Sherlock Holmes books. It has lots of fascinating extra info. I'd also recommend Laurie R. King's Mary Russell and Sherlock Holmes series. The first book is Beekeeper's Apprentice, a different take on Sherlock Holmes that still captures the best of the consulting detective. I feel like you made me read this, like, very purposely.
Oh, why would you say that? I mean, it's not my fault that you didn't read the introduction. So.
Oh, my God. That's, I still can't believe you didn't read the introduction.
I didn't think it was important, okay? I just wanted to read the story.
God. And also, like, it's not my fault that you have to earn your book that is being held ransom. So I just thought Allison might inspire you as all, Karen. I'm just trying to help you out.
Thank you, Allison.
I'm trying to motivate you. Yeah, and we also had a comment from Bianca who said, you guys should definitely review We Were Liars when it comes out. I read the manuscript and it was brilliant. Well, you're in luck, Bianca, because we're totally going to review it. And it's going to be our May book. So everyone should read it because it is beautiful.
It is. I'll be surprised if anyone figures it out.
I would be surprised if people don't like it either. Because this book is the best. And if you don't like it, then you're wrong. And go away from me.
Oh, boy.
And we also have our April book coming up, which is Half Bad.
Bad by Sally Green.
Yeah, so you guys can get reading on them and let us know what you think. And then we had, did you guys see this? Someone sorted us into Hogwarts houses.
I just saw that. That's so funny.
I don't know how accurate it is, but I thought it was funny. So,
oh, it's accurate.
Mikhail, no, did you want to read that?
Sure. Hang on. I did not definitely click away from the thing. Damn it, where is it? Here it is. Stephanie Williams first she said, listening to Book Hype, and I love how Marama picks on Karen. It's okay to be the nice one, the Hufflepuff, I feel ya. It is okay to be the Hufflepuff, but it is better to be the Ravenclaw, which brings us to her next tweet, which says, Epiphany, if Book Hype were Hogwarts, Gryffindor would be Jen, Slytherin would be Marama, Ravenclaw would be Michal, and Hufflepuff would be Karen. And I cannot even tell you how much I agree with this. I mean, it leaves out Kyle, but whatever. He's Hagrid. Or the Sorting Hat.
I reject this. Not because it's Hufflepuff, because I have nothing against Hufflepuff. Hufflepuff is totally fine, but I'm not a Hufflepuff.
What are you then?
What are you?
I'm a Gryffindor.
Everyone wants to be a Gryffindor.
Oh,
why?
My God, Karen, I really wanted you to say Slytherin.
No!
Definitely Slytherin, bitches! This, like, just brought on an existential crisis for me because I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I've never been able to sort myself into a house because I'm just too complex for that, guys. I just can't narrow myself down to one set of characteristics.
One category. You're divergent.
You want to be brave and smart and kind and hungry.
No, I'm definitely not Hufflepuff. Like, let's be real. But I think I'm the other three. Maybe more Ravenclaw and Slytherin. I think I'm like a mix of that. I'm a Slytherclaw. A Raver.
Oh, no. Nice.
Slyther Raven. I don't know. Yeah, I'm Divergent and Kyle's the Squib because no one sorted me.
Poor Kyle. He can't even defend himself.
Well, it's his fault for not being here. So that is all the listener feedback for this time. Don't forget, you guys can always leave us comments on this podcast post. We want your Eleanor and Puck fan casting, please. And you can tweet us at Book Hype. I want to know, like, maybe, oh, can someone do the Divergent, like, the factions this time? That would be fun. We've had Hogwarts. Now, like, sort us into the Divergent factions. And there's five. So there's five of us. So Kyle should not be left out this time.
That one actually did give me an existential crisis because I was thinking, like,
oh,
well,
please, you're that smart one. Whatever
I'm not
the smart
erudite.
One is.
Erudite are, like, super mean.
Yeah, but they're smart. That's you. You're the smart one.
But not like, oh, thank you. But, I mean, I'm not, but, you know. The thing is, though, erudite in the book is very, like, science and very, you know, math. And I'm like, well, I would be screwed. Like, I'm not particularly good at that. Definitely not math. So
actually, maybe you're the honest one. Wait, would I be the honest one?
No, I think
feel
you're
like
yes.
Yeah. You would.
Damn it. I don't want to be that one. Those guys suck. Anyway,
I would be fine with Amity. I'd probably, like, hide in Amity and just be
is
like,
Amity the kind one? Those guys suck. They're so boring. They didn't do anything.
I know. That's probably why I'd hide
they're
there.
They're like
I'm
the half path of Divergent. Sorry.
Oh,
anyway.
Boy. Anyway, I think it's time to wrap up on that note before anyone says something they don't mean.
Mm-hmm. That never happens.
No, not here. All right. Well, thank you guys as always for listening. And as we said, we have two books coming up, one for April, one for May. April's book will be Half Bad by Sally Green, and May's will be We Were Liars by E. Lockhart. Which is an amazing book. And it's a super quick read. So even if you guys don't have a ton of time, like, it's legitimately like 128 pages. So
yeah, and I don't think it has an introduction. So Karen, you should be okay.
I hate you so much.
It does have an epilogue though. So remember to read that. That is part of the story. I'm never going to let you live that down. Guys, I was really nice to Karen this week. I sent her a book.
Oh, my God.
I'm allowed to be mean to her.
Yeah, okay. If anybody doesn't realize we're joking by now, because Marama, legitimately, you made me cry. I was having a really bad day, and I got
but in
this
a good
book
way,
email.
In a good way, not a bad way.
Yeah, in a really good way. I had a really bad day, and then I got this book in the mail for no reason, and I just started sobbing. It was so nice.
Yeah, but now you have to read it out of guilt.
So. But you know what? I'm okay with that.
It's the only way to make it happen.
Oh, my goodness. So, anyway, thank you guys for listening. As always, leave your comments and all that good stuff on this post or on our Twitter feed, because we are always on Twitter. And we will talk to you guys soon. So, until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
I'm Marima.
And I'm Bucky.
Goodbye, guys.